Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs. Refreshing. Relevant. Real.
We're going to be in Romans chapter 14 today and a little bit of 15. In July, we started a series on freedom. So we talked about freedom. We started off in Galatians chapter 5 where we talked about that it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And then we shifted to Romans chapter 7 and 8. We spent several weeks there where we talked about what true freedom is. True freedom is not the ability to do whatever I want to do, but to do what is right and what glorifies God. And Paul wrestles with the issue of our sinful nature, that often what we want to do, we don't have the power to actually do. And what we shouldn't do, we actually do. And you have the dilemma of that often we give in to what our sinful nature wants instead of giving in to the Spirit of God. And so he talks about we get victory through the Holy Spirit working in our lives, and we have the fruit of the Spirit. And then Romans 8 then talks about freedom from suffering, not so much freedom from suffering, but freedom from discouragement during times of suffering. And then the final week was just the freedom from of the fear of being separated from God. And he just talked about the security that we have in Christ, that nothing can take us out of the hand of God. And as we talk about freedom, I think I said that we were all done with the freedom series, but there was one more thing that just came up, and I figured we really didn't deal in any depth or with just the issue of freedom and how we use our freedom to build up the body of Christ. And Paul deals with that as well in a few chapters later, in chapters 14 and 15. He talks about with freedom also comes some responsibility, in that as we move on to maturity, that we don't always exercise our freedom at the expense of others. Does that make sense? There's often times that we can say, you know what, I can do this because I want to do it. I don't really care about how it impacts or affects anybody else. It's my right. I'm going to do it. And in our culture, even though we would say we live in a free nation, right, do we still have rules? Yeah. We have rules to protect not only our freedom, but the freedom of others, so that we have freedom, but our freedom doesn't impose or shouldn't affect others. It shouldn't be at their expense. It's to provide freedom for everybody. So Paul deals with this in Romans chapter 14. So that's where I want us to begin this morning. And I want us to... It deals with matters of conscience. Do you know what I mean by matters of conscience? We're going to talk about that. Sometimes we call those gray areas, but I don't even think they're necessarily gray areas. They're areas where we may have convictions on, but Scripture doesn't always give us conclusive, or maybe because we're in the New Testament church, there's no longer rules or restrictions against those things. So we're going to talk about some of those. Let's begin in verse 1 of chapter 14. And down through 12. Accept him whose faith is weak. Okay, and by weak, the person here that is considered weak is a person that feels obligated to still live by legalistic things. Okay, that were probably part of the Old Testament way of living. And guess what? People in New Testament Christianity still live under legalism. Okay, we'll talk more about that. And so the weak would be those that feel like they have to fulfill the things, these obligations, if they're going to be righteous, if they're going to be holy, they have to fulfill these restrictions or these rules in order to be holy before God. Accept him whose faith is weak without passing judgment on disputable matters, or I call them matters of conscience. One man's faith allows him to eat everything. Okay? Now for the Jewish person, could they eat everything? No, what couldn't they eat? Pork. Man, farmland would be a big thing, wouldn't it? You know, can't you just see that? Oh, you work at farmland? Well, you know, we can't eat pork. You know? Yeah. How many of you had bacon this week? All right. Yeah. No. Some of you did. So you have this church that is made up of Jews and Gentiles. You have somebody over for breakfast and you serve them eggs and bacon. Wow. You know, for some people, they're thinking, man, their mouth is watering. And the other person, they're, you're having bacon. You know, you're going to die. You're going to go to hell because you're having bacon. It's not kosher. So, matters of conscience. Those are some of the things the early church had to deal with. But that we still deal with other things in our culture. One man's faith allows him to eat everything. But another man's faith, whose faith is weak, only eats vegetables. He's a vegetarian. They had those guys back then, too. All right? The man who eats everything must not look down on the one who does not, and the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does. All right? I was raised, you had to clean up your plate, right? Everybody grew up like that? You came out, you had folks that went through the Depression, and so you didn't waste food, so you ate everything that was on your plate, right? Okay? Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master he stands or fails, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. Verse 5. One man considers one day more sacred than another. Okay? So here again, you have Gentiles and Jews. What day was sacred to the Jewish people? Saturday. That was the Sabbath day. What day became sacred for the Gentiles? Sunday. That's the day of the resurrection. Which day are we going to worship on? One man considers one day more sacred than the other. Another man considers every day alike. Who's right? Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. He who regards one day as special does so to the Lord. He who eats meat eats to the Lord. Amen. For he gives thanks to God. And he who abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself alone. None of us dies to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life, so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. You then, why do you judge your brother? See, it wasn't a matter of just having convictions about certain things. But it was judging, saying, you know, these are my convictions, therefore you need to live according to my convictions as well. In these matters of conscience. For we all stand before God's judgment seat, the Bema seat. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, and every tongue will confess to God. So then let each of us give an account of himself to God. Father, we ask the blessing over your word this morning. I pray that you would take it and apply it to our hearts and to our lives. And we ask it in your holy name. Amen. Amen. Matters of conscience. What were some of the matters of conscience that Paul mentions in this text to begin with? Help me out. Meat, okay? So just the idea, and Paul deals with in another area, he'll deal with meat offered to idols. Okay, not just the idea of having meat, but meat that was offered to an idol. You know, for some people it's kind of like, you ate meat that was offered to an evil idol. How can you even have anything to do with that? I don't know. It tastes the same as the other meat stand. And for some people, you probably didn't even know where it was coming from. But, you know, they'd make these sacrifices, and some of it was used on the altar, and others were sold at the meat market. And some people had issues with that. And Paul says, you know what? These demons, these idols, they're nothing. They're not even living. But if it's going to bother you, if it's going to affect your faith, then you probably shouldn't eat it. And you should recognize the convictions of others and not go over that. Some meat, okay? Some people in this culture were vegetarians. And they thought, you know what? That was the only way to be a vegetarian, all right? And if you weren't a vegetarian, you weren't very spiritual, right? Okay, certain foods were holy and certain were not. What else? Day of worship, yeah. Now, in American culture, Sunday has been kind of that day of worship. In fact, we used to have laws that businesses couldn't be open on Sundays. It was weird when I was in Exuma of the Bahamas, a small island, and it was just kind of like one highway going north and south, you know. and there was little communities along the way. But you had to make sure you got your gas on Saturday. Why? It wasn't open on Sunday. You know? And people survived there. They worked around it. Just think about today, we've gotten so accustomed to businesses being open on Sundays, but when I was growing up, that wasn't the case. About everything was closed. The gas stations, the grocery stores, convenience stores. They didn't have convenience stores back then. Kind of. They weren't open. Days of worship. What else? See anything else there? Huh? Judgment? Yeah. Yeah. When I grew up, just to bring in a little bit more to our culture, when I grew up within the Assemblies of God. Assemblies of God, it just turned 100 years old here. So they just celebrated that here last week down in Springfield, Missouri. 1914 was kind of the when they organized, but it was happening even just the late 1800s, early part of 1904 or something like that. But they came out of a holiness movement, okay? Nazarene, Wesleyan, holiness, Methodist movement. And with that holiness movement also came a lot of restrictions and rules that came with following Christ. Some of it was dress code, okay? You could dress a certain way. And Victor and Yolanda deal a lot with this within the Hispanic culture. You might not recognize that, but if you see a lot of the Mexican ladies within the community of Crete that are church-going, are they wearing pants or are they wearing skirts and dresses? Skirts and dresses. They're not doing that because, hey, they want to wear skirts and dress. They're wearing it because of the legalism that is within some of the many of the churches within the Hispanic community. Okay? So for them to wear pants, and I don't know if Yolanda will wear pants, because that's not an issue to Victor and Yolanda, but they see that a lot. And a lot of times they won't wear jewelry or makeup. Okay? And you know what? Even within the Assemblies of God, in the very beginning, as far as jewelry and makeup, some of that stuff was taboo. All right? You didn't do that. And so I grew up with that. I grew up with that you didn't go into a movie theater. You know, if somebody saw you in a movie theater, yeah. See, you don't have any of that baggage, do you, Denise? See? You're just free. But, you know, I couldn't go into a movie theater because if they saw you in a movie theater, people could assume that you were watching the worst movie that was there, okay? It was a John Wayne movie, probably. you know, and they had guns. You know, I couldn't watch any TV shows that had a gun in it. Although my dad would watch Gunsmoke when my mom went to bed. But couldn't play cards. Oh, because the cards, there was evil stuff, and they're played in bars. Couldn't play pool, because where were the pool? In the bars. Some of this is kind of foreign, but that was the legalism that was in the church just 20, 30 years ago, even before I was born. Smoking and alcohol were definitely things that, you know, a Christian did not do, okay? And to me, some of those are more health issues. Some of those are matters of conscience. Some things Scripture speaks specifically towards them. So, but even like being a vegetarian, you know, Daniel seemed to have some of those convictions, right? In fact, he gets to Babylon and they have all this rich food, and we don't know what that meant. It was probably maybe very heavy in fats and meats and things like that. And he was raised on a diet that was high in probably vegetables and fruit. And so he requested, he saw it as a spiritual matter. But what we have in the church in Rome is that they were dividing, they were being divided over days of worship and what they ate and things that did not, they were matters of conscience, but they weren't core to their Christian faith. And it was dividing them. And I believe the first thing that Paul wants us to catch in these first 12 verses is to not judge others over matters of conscience. And that's easy to do, though, isn't it? Because we develop convictions within our own lives of what is right and wrong. And what do we want to do? Then we judge others based upon our own convictions. And there are some things that are sin, but there's some things that are not. Now, a conviction that's probably pretty deep for Amy and I, that we are both, even though Amy's family came to know Christ when she was kind of elementary age, and I was raised with it, but was the issue of alcohol. Now, I wasn't raised that alcohol was a matter of conscience. I was raised that if I drank, it was sin, and I was going to hell. I was going to burn. And that's something that in the last probably 10, 15 years, I've just had to really look at Scripture and say, you know what? Scripture's very clear on drunkenness, right? Yes. And there would be some that say that, you know what, that the wine that they drank back during Jesus' time was not alcoholic, but then it's kind of like, why did they talk about drunkenness if that was the case? I do believe that they probably added water to it. They didn't, because they had it at meals and stuff like that. But even those that were served on the board, they were to be people that were not of much wine, right? And so, because it is an area of addiction. Now, we have strong convictions that probably because of the way we were raised, okay? We were raised that it was wrong. Also, I just see the negative side of alcohol a lot, how it can destroy lives. But at the same point, Scripture seems to leave room for that to be there. Now, the Assembly of God position is what? Anybody know? Can't hear you. Anybody know? Is abstinence from alcohol. That's the technical. That's not how I was taught. I was taught that it was, you're going to hell. All right? But the technical position of Assembly of God is abstinence. In other words, I abstain from alcohol. Not that it's a sin, but it has to deal with what we're going to talk about here in just a little bit. To abstain from that just because one of the addiction, okay? How many have seen somebody that, or maybe even yourself, that have dealt with alcoholic addiction? You know, and you can start off just having a drink or a beer after a golf or doing, working hard on the yard all day or having a glass of wine after a nice meal or during a nice meal. All of a sudden you can hit a difficult time in life, and alcohol does help to deaden the pain at times, and then it becomes an addiction. And both my grandfathers, I knew my mom's father. I didn't know my dad's father because both of them were alcoholics, and both of them did incredible damage to their families growing up. And so when they weren't on alcohol, great people, but when they were on alcohol, they became very destructive. So I could, you know, there was, when I was, even as I first started pastoring, to see a Christian that would have a glass of wine or a beer, it was kind of like, they're going to hell. I don't drink just because of the leadership position that we have, and we do have people that have, we've had a lot of people that have come out of that lifestyle of alcoholism, and so we just don't participate in that. But I'm not going to look down or say, oh, you're going to heathen because you have a beer or a glass of wine, okay? And each of you need to work through that. That's just something we don't want in our home. Okay, but each of you have to work through that through Scripture in your own lives. And that, to me, is one of the issues that I've even, some of my leadership, I've asked, I want them to deal with this. And it's just kind of like, it gets dead in the room and nobody kind of wants, it's kind of like the elephant in the corner that nobody wants to look at. But maybe they'll deal with it one day. But what Paul wants to get is, do not judge others over matters of conscience. And folks, I've even seen some people that have selected, and I'm going to call this a healthy lifestyle. In other words, they just really watch what the portions that they eat and their fruits and vegetables, you know, and they adopt that for their way of life, okay? And it becomes a conviction. It becomes a way of life. And you know what? All of a sudden, they see somebody down in a Krispy Kreme donut. And what fills their heart and mind? It's kind of like, they begin to judge that person because they're enjoying a Krispy Kreme donut, right? And according to Scripture, you know what? Our diet, the Scripture speaks on gluttony. But whether you have ribeyes every night, that's a matter of conscience. And probably a matter of how you want to live your life and diet and things. But it's not something that scripturally we are to judge one another about. And definitely it should not be something that should come in the way of our unity and the faith that we have in Christ. Amen? See, that's what Paul's dealing with. We're allowing things that are peripheral to get in the way of what's really important in our salvation in Christ. So the same would apply to how we dress. Okay? You know, skirts, pants, modesty, jewelry, makeup. It could even be worship, folks. For some of you, you grew up in, it's not as a big deal, but you go back 10 years, worship wars, you know? Gary, you go back 20 years, what was worship in a church? It was 3 to 5 hymns, wasn't it? Yeah. I remember when we sung the first chorus at our church in a little town in North Dakota. And it was it wasn't Kumbaya, but I think Kumbaya was in that songbook, okay? We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. Remember that one? That was kind of, it came out of the hippie movement, and it was a... Yeah. Boy, you know, when one of those first songs is kind of like, I don't know, is this spiritual or not to sing a chorus? You know, it's not in the hymn book. And we can have those, and we begin to judge. Oh, that's too fast of a song. You know Denise kind of had a kind of kicking today, didn't they? And that's different from the way some of us grew up. Some of us like us, some of us are adjust to it. Okay? We can judge each other over those things that are not important. Ultimately, the kingdom of God. They're matters of conscience. Let's move on. So do not judge others over matters of conscience. Verse 13, therefore let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. As one who is in the Lord Jesus, I'm fully convinced that no food is unclean of itself. Okay? You ever, I think it's the Outdoor Channel or Sportsman's, the one guy, Meat Eater, and I mean, he eats everything, even like these eels and some of these things that no way would I want to eat, you know. I probably wouldn't eat a possum, but I know I've heard people's feelings over that before, so. But if anyone regards something as unclean, then for him it is unclean. If your brother is distressed because of what you eat, and I think this is more than just like, we're talking about messing with somebody's faith here. Okay? It bothers them. You are no longer acting in love. Do not by your eating destroy your brother for whom Christ died. So if you go out to a restaurant or have somebody order your place and you're okay with having some wine at your meal, but you know the people that you're inviting over have convictions about that. Their convictions aren't wrong. And according to Scripture, your convictions aren't wrong either. But if you go ahead and force the issue of serving wine because you want it, and you're okay with it, you're in the wrong, according to Scripture. Follow me. Do not, by your eating, destroy your brother for whom Christ died. And do not allow what you consider good to be spoken of as evil. Okay? So you can have your convictions. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating or drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's the major thing, folks. It's not food and drink. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by men. Therefore, let us make every effort to do what leads to peace and a mutual edification. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All food is clean, but it is wrong for a man to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. And here again, it's not just a matter of... It could cause somebody's faith. So I'm going to use the issue of alcohol. To me, that's something in the American church that we're dealing with. I have somebody over that has maybe come out of alcoholism. To me, I would be in a horrible wrong to serve alcohol at a meal. Even though I may have the liberty and the freedom to do that with my own life, and I'm okay with that, I don't abuse it, I think you would be in the wrong to serve that. Because you could be taking somebody right back down a path that God delivered them from. and opening up the door for them. It is better not to eat or drink wine or to do anything else that would cause your brother to fall. So whatever you believe about these things, keep what? Between who? Yourself and God. Okay? Convictions are different than issues that deal with Scripture, of sin. Blessed is the man who does not condemn himself by what he approves, but the man who has doubts is condemned if he eats. So if God hasn't given you, if you have a glass of wine because somebody else is doing it, but you still have convictions about it, guess what? You're probably in the wrong. Because you're doing it because somebody else is doing it. You're going against your own convictions. And everything else that does not come from faith is sin. The second thing that Paul brings about here is that we are to do what leads to peace and mutual edification. And see, that is a mark of maturity, folks. There are those that say, you know what, I have freedom, therefore I can do whatever I want to do. I don't care how it affects my brother and sister in Christ. I don't care what it does. See, that, yeah, there's freedom in Christ. But maturity says, you know what, I'm willing to set aside some of these things that really aren't important to the kingdom of God to build up his kingdom. And I want to do what leads to mutual edification. That means build up. Okay, edification, we don't use that in our common book. But it means to build up, to strengthen, to encourage other people. And it leads to unity within the church. That should be what we're focused on. That is a mark of maturity. When I can set aside what I want so that the kingdom of God is built up. That's a mark of maturity. And that's where Paul wants them to move towards. That they're willing to set aside some of this other stuff that really doesn't matter to the kingdom of God. And to focus on Christ and his salvation, his work within their church and their community. So, back in that culture, you know, if I was to serve a meal and invite some people over and I knew that they had convictions about meat offered to idols, and I'd say, you know what, I don't have any convictions about that. And it doesn't bother me. But I still go ahead and do it anyway. I'd be in the wrong. I think the same thing would apply to alcohol. I think to make an issue, you know what, we worship on a Sunday morning. But there's some churches that offer a Saturday night service. Would that bother you? For some of you, it might bother. Some of you, it doesn't. What scripture I do believe really convicts us about is that we need to have a day of worship within our lives, that we take a break, and that we honor God through that. Okay? So, do what leads to peace and mutual edification. Let's move on to the final point, the first six verses there of 15. It says, "We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves." And for them, they had people that were coming out of the Jewish faith that had been raised with a lot of rules and regulations about what they could eat and what they couldn't eat. And then you have Gentiles that had gotten saved. They didn't have any of that baggage, all right? They are experiencing the freedom of God. And somehow these believers were to come together in unity and in the common good, even though they had these different convictions and different feelings about food, about drink, about days of worship. And so he says to bear with one another and respect each other's preferences and convictions. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good to build him up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and encouragement of the scriptures we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves to follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and one mouth you may glorify God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That last couple verses are pretty powerful. The third principle is strive towards the spirit of unity. You know, and that is the amazing thing about the body of Christ. You can have people from different nations, ethnicities, backgrounds, cultures, upbringings, all different values and convictions. And we can all come together and worship our Lord and our Savior with one voice and one mouth. That is His goal. That is the goal of the body of Christ. And that doesn't always happen, folks. Often we can get caught on disagreements over matters of conscience and things that do not matter within the kingdom of God. You know what? We need practice on this. Because someday we're going to sit around the throne of God, and it's not just going to be us, it's going to be people from all over the world. And if you think it's a little bit crazy right now, just think about when you get the whole world there. They're not going to have all the same convictions that you have had. But we're all going to have one thing in common, that we knew Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. And together with one voice, we're going to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And it's okay. I encourage you to have convictions about certain things, about whether it's your diet, whether it's about alcohol. You need to come to those conclusions and search out Scripture and say, God, what are you speaking to me? All right? You need to have those convictions and work that out in your own heart. But we have to be careful about judging others by those same convictions. Are you following me? We got freedom. But we can't use our freedom to destroy the faith of another person. And I don't always know how far to carry that. You know, that's why that would be the argument that the assemblies really pushes for alcohol and abstain from alcohol. Not that it's sinful, but just the idea of just how it's going to affect other people. And I think if they did a survey in our churches, I would say that probably 50% or more probably would have alcohol now and then. And I think it would be amiss that there's probably alcoholics even within there. And it might be over other things as well. Victor and Yolanda in the Hispanic community, is alcohol kind of taboo with them too? Yes. No? Is alcohol? No? Yep. Right? Is alcohol... Depends. They're more caught up on the jewelry and dress and stuff. That's a big one, isn't it? And see, that becomes... If you know that alcohol is going to be an issue in your life, or it has been in your family history, it would probably be a wise thing that becomes a conviction that alcohol, it just is not part of your life. Right? But there are some that don't have issues with that. And to, am I making sense? And it's exactly what Chris said. For one person, and even the dress codes, you know, if it causes one person to sin or became an issue of sin, then they made it a rule, saying you can't dress like this, or you can't do this. You can't go into the bars and play pool. You can't play pool because it's in the bars. Okay? And for some of you, that seems so stupid, doesn't it? Yeah. I remember the card thing, man. Even my folks, my folks still have pretty strong convictions about that. So we can play Uno and Skip-Bo, okay? But the real game cards, that would still... And so we don't force that issue. Just out of respect for them. Convictions. Freedom versus liberty. I'm going to have the musicians come. I believe that Scripture and Paul wants us to enjoy the freedom that is ours in Christ Jesus. But also use that freedom to encourage and to build others up, fostering a spirit of unity. And one day we're going to worship Him, and with one voice we're going to glorify Him and magnify Him. Amen? We're going to close with that chorus, Lord, I need you. Victor and Yolanda will be joining me at the front here. And maybe you've been wrestling over some of those things in your own life. Maybe you've judged somebody because of some of the things that they, their own convictions, or maybe in your mind, lack of conviction. I know people that judge others because they don't have the health dietary standards that they do. And so they judge. And they make it a spiritual matter. Scripturally, that's not a thing that we want to focus on. Alright? And I know in others that would be deeply offended if they sat down with a group of Christians and some had alcohol. They'd be deeply offended. And, you know, when we know those things are there, we need to do our best just to recognize and honor that. You're not going to offend me. But for some, you'd really offend them. You had my folks over and you served alcohol, they'd be pretty offended by that. So don't do it. We're up here to pray with you this morning. If you have a need or request, do that. Or if you just want, I really want us to enjoy the freedom that we have in Christ, but also to move on to maturity. So I want us to even just take some time for the Holy Spirit to speak and apply what Paul has written. Apply it to your own heart, to your own life. Amen? Amen. Denise, lead this.